Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Right.
I am on the phone right now with somebody I'm so excited to talk to. It's Catherine Cermak. How are you, Catherine?
Oh, I am wonderful. And thank you ever so much, Kat, for having me on your show.
Oh, my gosh. It's my honor.
Thank you. Sorry.
Well, you're Betty Davis's assistant. You were. And I like to, she still lives on in my mind. I mean, she was one of a kind. You were her assistant. What was that like?
You know what? And may I say, you're right. I was, and I sometimes still, I still am.
Yes.
I am still am, Misty. Here I am. I'm fulfilling a promise that she had me make a promise that one day you're going to write our story. It has taken me a long time. I call it my blood, sweat, tears, and laughter because I needed to get the story right. And we all know how the world, right after she passed, publishers are after you and they want the kiss and tell book. It's not a book. This is to show the book is really about two women. Uh-huh. The story of a young girl, she's 22 or 3 at that time, and Misty was 27. She was internationally worldly known, and I came from a town in California called San Bernardino, which at that time was filled with orange groves. You didn't have, like, department stores other than you had to take a train and go into Pasadena.
Right.
So we're talking, I know, I can hear that just back then. I was telling somebody earlier, it's like, right, when you get older, I can hear my dad saying, well, remember when bread was just 25 cents and I had to buy.
I know.
Now I'm going, wow, here I am. But the one wonderful thing about, I think, this book, and it is our story, is times change.
Mm-hmm.
But lessons in life, there are universal lessons that,
right.
You know what, they uphold forever. So circumstances change,
right.
But the universe really doesn't.
Well, Catherine, you're absolutely right. And that's why I'm so glad you did this memoir. It's Miss D and Me. And so this is out now. How can we get the book?
Okay, the book is out. The book was released in 2017 in hardback.
Mm-hmm.
And just October, I think it was October 12th, we just released it in paperback. So it's on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble. It's usually in most any of the bookstores. But for the people here in Williamsburg, where I'm at the moment, we are doing two special events. And I do say they're special because we're doing something that's never been done before.
Ooh, tell me.
One on Wednesday, which I believe is October 10th, It is a place called The Tavern.
Yes.
And so we will be doing, you can buy the book there.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a Q&A there. But I, for the first time, is showing a private documentary of Miss Davis. Miss Davis said, you have to do something new and different. And I just came off from doing a Betty Davis conference that was at Northwestern University over the weekend. And over the weekend, it was Miss Davis's anniversary, October 6th, when she passed.
Wow.
You know, in Paris, or I say she made that transition.
Right.
But so often people say, well, you must really miss her. And it's like, no, you know, if aside from Miss D, but I've been very fortunate to work for other people. And Miss D, yes, she knew the film business, but she was very... the wisdom about life and how she knew energy. And she would many times, okay, here I'm 23 or 24, and she's talking up, and I'm looking at, like, who in the world is she talking to? Who looks up, and is it God or what? And she always believed there is a higher force.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
She always believed that there was energy in everything. It's in your home. It's in your furniture. Let me tell you, Miss D, love that furniture. And when you polish your furniture, you polish it with love. And when you cook, you never cook when you're angry.
Oh.
Because if you're angry, then that's negative energy. And then you're putting negative energy into food.
Oh.
And that, you know, kind of trickles. And I, you know, at first I didn't quite understand what she was saying. But, you know, and then after living in France teaches the same thing. Right. It's almost like it's an art. And when you have a dinner party, what it's not just you're oh quickly and put food on the table. There's she puts so much thought. What mm-hmm. does the person like? What do they like to eat? What do they not? How you prepare? She'll set the table the day before.
Wow!
No,
amazing.
And I would always find out what the guests like at that time, Minisan, mm-hmm. because if you go back 40 years ago. Because that then was 1980, there was a whole graciousness right. about dining.
Yes.
And you dressed. You had business was done over the cocktail hour.
Uh-huh.
And you dressed for cocktails.
Right.
You know, you wore a dress and you had it, you drank in the salon, you know, you had the salon and you talk business. It's not like, okay, we're going to happy hour and we're going to have a glass of wine and people drink it like so quickly. And, you know, it's just different. There are different times and I know they've changed, but there's a great art and beauty to it.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, it's so romantic. It just is, it's romantic to me.
Well, you know, I think it's more romantic now because when I was actually working, I now realize, yeah, I'm working. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what I'm learning.
Right.
Because you're in it.
Exactly.
And I didn't know these things. I just know, okay, this is how it's to be done. And, you know, these are my jobs. And then after I learned one, she would raise the level higher and higher until you perfect it. And once you know how to do this, then I'm going to give you a little more responsibility and more responsibility and more responsibility. She would never give me the responsibility until I prove myself, which I thought at that time was ridiculous. She wouldn't even hand me the tickets. Here, I had been in Europe. I had finished school, and I could not believe it's like I have traveled around Europe, and here you are. We're going to the airport, and you won't hand me over the ticket. And it's like, how difficult could that be? But because there's a protocol.
Right.
And at that time, it was my very first, and I'm thinking, okay, who puts bows, red bows? And she always, her bows were perfect. And she put the red ribbon, she did the bows. And I was so embarrassed in, you know, going to the, not going in a limo. I had never been in a limo. Young kids today, I'm sure they take it for granted because they now go to parties and graduations. But way back then, you only took a limo if it was for a morchie, you know,
right.
somebody passed.
Right.
You know, aside from, you know, maybe, you know, Hollywood, but not even that many times in Hollywood. There were few. And as opposed, I say that only because times have changed. So to go to the airport and then she would go directly to the car or she would stay in the car, I go get the baggage, you know, I was embarrassed. But then I learned.
Right.
I learned. The reason you do it is because everybody has lark luggage or black luggage or navy blue.
Right.
But when you see the red bows, that bellman takes them off. And before you know it, you are in the car and you are out. And people are not looking at, is that my luggage? Is it not? She was very New England and practical. Practical.
Well, let me ask you, how did you meet her first? How did you come about becoming her assistant?
Do you know, Misty had heard about me. It was one of those fluke periods in one's life that I actually was studying to be a doctor of psychology, clinical psychology, which led me to Europe.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when you're a kid, you have dreams. It was like at first, and I want to invent something. And every kid knows how hard it is to get into graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure I learned under Carl Rogers, Jane Goodall. You know, I was adamant only on two, you know, mm-hmm. schools I wanted to attend. And when I was accepted, I was in Europe. But at that time, you did not go. Very few people traveled. Nobody could afford it.
Right.
Telephone, you couldn't call your parents. It's $30 a minute.
Yes.
You know, so it's the air mail, and it would take 3 months
yeah.
just to get a letter. So, in other words, when I was there and I finally was accepted, and I had not seen the United, most of the United I've not seen the United States. I think I was only in California and Hawaii and Colorado before I ever was in Europe. So Europe was so new. And, you know, you can't write home. And the moment I hit France, I fell in love. I didn't know. I couldn't speak the language, but I was drawn to it. And how do you tell a school who's, a school who all of a sudden said, you got into the graduate school. My father's saying, if you don't come home, I'm going to disown you. I don't know what is that to do. And my mother said, you know what? Don't worry about your father. This is an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
The reason I'm telling you all this is eventually I did go back. My grandmother died.
Uh-huh.
And when I went back, I had, 9 months before graduate school started. And I needed a job.
Mm-hmm.
So the first job, I took my resume and I went around. I wanted something international.
Right.
And at that time, my great friend, and you'll learn in the book, Helen Ann, she was my boyfriend's mother, said, instead of telling me what to do, she would pose the questions, how are you going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So we made a resume. I took it up to Los Angeles, and I went around to all the agencies. Then I went back to visit her, because if I stayed with my father, he was like, I come from a very strict family. And by then, like any child who has been in college and you go away from home, and if you come back, those curfews that my
mm-hmm.
father would say at 10 o'clock, I'm used to the freedom on my own. And I don't think that changes much today.
Yes.
So long story short, I received a call to work for the Shah sister, Princess Pahlavi of Iran. That is when you had the downfall of the Shah. He came to America.
Right.
And they were in the U.S. And I didn't know. I mean, think of to work for a princess. The only thing I knew about a princess would be the closest thing was Disneyland.
Yeah.
You know, Cinderella.
Yeah.
I'm a California girl.
Uh-huh.
So maybe on the East Coast, you know, you learn about the Queen, but not way out in California. So I jumped at the opportunity. I thought, well, you know, you're being interviewed by the FBI, the CIA. It was intriguing. And I was one of the only American to work for her. She had 18 servants that she brought over, or they were from different nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
The reason she hired me was because I could speak Spanish.
Oh.
And her Spanish tutor was going back to Madrid, and I could speak, you know, French. She had, you know, French staff.
Right.
So, and she wanted to become somewhat Americanized because the culture over in Iran is not like the same culture here.
Sure.
So that lasted up until, back then you can only be in the U.S. for 6 months. So
mm-hmm.
speed up. They had to go to Acapulco. My government said, nope, you are no longer protected. And the same man who found, helped hire her international staff had heard about me.
Hmm.
And so he was also heard, Misty, his name was Wes Carlson, and anytime we needed somebody, Misty always called Wes, and Wes told me, she had went through, you know, meeting all these people, and she never found him. And I received the call. I honestly did not know who Betty Davis was. I never heard about Betty Davis.
Oh my
but
goodness.
The night before the interview, true story, I read her book.
Oh.
I needed, and I stayed up all night, and that was the one big thing I wanted, is the next person I worked for, because I still had 3 months before I had to get to graduate school, and she was my ticket to England. Oh, my gosh, to go to England? And they said she was looking for a Girl Friday.
Oh.
Girl Friday? I didn't know what a Girl Friday is. I'll be a girl Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know? At
sure.
that time, it's a ticket. And then, true story, I wish I had this more often, but I woke up and I knew I had the job. I know it sounds strange, but it was a knowingness. Sometimes, now that I'm older, sometimes there's just, you hit certain, you feel something.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. and that's how it is. I met her and I was amazed within, really, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, five maybe, max. She asked me a few questions. What is, you know, can you cook an egg? Of course, little did I know. what a 3-minute egg was. I thought I did, but I soon learned I didn't. She wanted to know my birth sign. And, you know, as you're asking, it's like, what is my birth sign? I'm a college graduate. You know, what in the world? But, you know, I'm a Libra. She's an Aries. And she said, that's good. Isn't that good, Wes? You know? And, but, which I, and then the next thing I know, she said, you have the job. I mean, to me, it was
awesome.
You know, okay, I didn't understand. I just knew when I met her, when she shook my hand, and she was there right at the door. Aww. You know, she had the door open, and there she was. She shook my hand. I had on, my mother had given me for my birthday, or I think it was my 21st birthday, a ring. Misty, this, you know, I say she was like 5'3½". The power in her hand when she shook my hand, seriously, she left an imprint on my finger. I was just, you know, you don't say anything. But, and the rest was history. Misty always said she goes by her instincts. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I did not understand that.
Sure.
And I thought that was pretty brutal because, and she goes by her intuition. Mm-hmm. She believes not everybody's going to like you. Trust your instincts. That was a hard lesson for me to learn.
Right.
Because I grew up in a strict Catholic family, and it wasn't trust your instincts. It was you get those grades, you're going to college, and you do what you are told.
Exactly.
You know, or else. That is it. It was none of, okay, you know, so It was like you have the 23-year-old here, and you've got Misty, you know, 71 internationally. You got two trains coming, and so even though she tells everybody later on, you know, it worked out, you know, instantly. No, not quite instantly. Let me tell you, it was the hardest boot camp I ever went through.
Oh my goodness!
Not that I ever, but it was a great training.
Yes. Now, you co-founded the Betty Davis Foundation with Miss Davis' son, so you've got that going on. And so the foundation, what does the foundation do?
Basically, I went to school on a scholarship, and when Misty passed, it was her son's idea. We always wanted her legacy, and I think Misty would be very proud. The foundation, basically, it gives money to kids in scholarships. You know, scholarships in the arts. You don't have to be an actress. You can be a writer, a director, somebody aspiring, but it is in the creative field. Because Ms. Davis always believed in giving.
Right.
And she never did it. I saw her so many times. We'd meet somebody on an airplane, struggling, you know, young artists. And she would call Harold and say, Harold, I want you to send her, you know, a few $1,000s, but never say who it's from, you know, an unknown benefactor. She knows what it was like because she didn't come from money.
Right.
And she watched how hard her mother worked. There were times when she would go on audition with her girlfriend and her mom. They would stay in a hotel and you slept putting the two chairs together, which would be hard to think today.
Right.
But you know what? It's through that when you do, you have a great appreciation.
Yes.
And you appreciate more. She
yes.
told me so many lessons. It's none of sometimes I see in the town I live in, because either the young kids, they make it so fast and they don't understand the value or appreciate, or, you know, you hit money. If you hit that so quickly, that thing, you're going to lose it. You
right.
can get it, lose it. What she taught me, Missy didn't make fame overnight. You know, it was hard work. What young people don't realize, she was making back then two films. They had you working 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Your only day off was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You made a film in the morning, and you made a film at night, and you were under contract. It's like slavery.
Right, right. It was a lot of work.
And that's why she thought, it's a lot of work. And that's why she fought the studio system, because you're under contract for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say no, and they were giving her bad parts, and then she finally, what does a kid do? I'm going to rebel.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did. And they would say, fine, you go on suspension. But if you go on suspension, they suspend you for 3 months, and you are not paid.
Wow. Wow.
And you are taking care of money, and you're taking care of your mother and, you know, the family.
Sure.
But she was a fighter. That's where she gets, but she was fighting for self-preservation.
Oh, my goodness. No.
And now you look at what's happening today with the Olivia de Havilland.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Now, you're in Williamsburg right now for Wednesday, and then you have another date in Williamsburg?
And the great, and the, yes, and on Friday, because talking about the foundation, so all the proceeds on Friday.
Okay.
We are doing it at the library. The library. I'm sorry?
The
Williamsburg Theater Library. We are holding it, and what I'm doing for, we are selling the books, but all the proceeds will go to the Betty Davis Foundation.
Aww.
And once again, we will be doing a Q&A. I will show the film that nobody has seen. And because it's a great cause. And I think, you know, the young kids today, I was, you know, the book is not, it's for the young kids.
Sure.
It's for the elder, because now it also shows, I learned at a very early age when Miss Davis had, she had a mastectomy, followed by a stroke.
Right.
And if you're a baby boomer now, there were no books saying what happens when something like that happens in a hospital. And what the book shows you, it shows you what I went through, but it also shows you through the eyes of the patient.
Wow.
Which are totally different, you know?
Uh-huh.
And my own father, who passed away when I turned in this book the day before, or no, the day right after I passed it in, bless his heart, I said, Dad, you got going to. But it shows from when that he happened to be 90. But honestly, when Miss D passed at 81, it probably is comparable to somebody today being 90.
Right, right.
You know, so there's something in it, I truly believe, you know, for everybody. Because when you're older, and everything that I went through with Miss D much later, it didn't change any with my father. You know, when you hit certain age, these things happen. The hearing. And when somebody wants to stop driving and no, they don't like it. And the sensitivity that, you know, I know it firsthand, being on one side, being the caretaker or what a family member goes through, but the frustration, what the elders go through too. Mm-hmm. They want to be still in control and keep their dignity.
Yes,
exactly. So it's so different. Yeah, it shows an understanding. And what makes the book a little more special is this book is taken from Misty's actual words, my words. It's our diaries. It's date books. It's actual tapes that we had the recordings on. And her son gave me total permission. So you're really hearing, you know, everybody can speculate and as, you know, when they pass, everybody wants, oh, they want this book and this book. It was more, that wanted kiss and tell. That's not, there's no point to, for me, or for the way Miss D taught me. She was my mentor.
Right.
You tell a story because there are lessons to be learned.
Exactly.
And she always said, Cass, you're gonna do the book. Mark my words, you're going to do it. You will start in Beirut, which I never understood till much, much later.
Yeah.
And then you will make the film. And so right now, yes, it's in paperback, but that's what that is exactly what I'm headed right now, is finding the right team, what I call the family, who understand. It's not just to make a film, but to understand. That has that understanding, that has that passion, and that can go to a deeper level and tell the story.
I love this. I'm just so excited to talk to you. Everything you're saying resonates with me so much. And how do we get tickets to come to your events? Are they open to the public?
Do you know what? The tickets, unlike Missy, always has to do. If you know Misty, she has to be the first at everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so I thought how I can make this so extremely different, because normally when, you know, we do the Betty Davis Foundation, which we are going to do, I think it's November 28th, and the Lifetime Achievement will go to Michael Douglas this year.
Oh, I love it.
We do it every few years. Now, for that, they do pay. But I thought, this is my book, and it's my way of saying thank you. So, no, Misty loved her fans. She loves the public, and I'm opening it to everybody. There are no tickets. Nobody has to buy. It is, you can come if you want to purchase the book. Wonderful, because that money will go to the foundation. And if not, if you just need, it's an inspiration to be inspired, because you will see incredible footage of a woman that was way ahead of her time. And even today, when I look at our book, Misty was so pro-women. Mm-hmm. And now look at, now you take into the women's movement. It's like, really? She taught me that 40 years ago.
Yes.
She used to say, if women would only learn to support other women, like the old boys' club.
Exactly.
And I didn't understand. And after mm-hmm. she passes, my first job was in TV. And then I totally got, you start learning. Mm-hmm. I started to really realize everything I was learning, because I saw the backbiting and women and how they would undermine one another.
Yes.
She never undermined me. I never even asked for a raise. She'd pick up the phone, Harold, Catherine needs a raise. And when we were working on this and that, it's like, no, I'm telling Dutton they're going to pay you. They were the publishers at that time, because I'm not going to write the book without you. And I will pay you because you're doing double job.
Aww.
I was like, do you know, it's women supporting women.
Yes, exactly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, are you on social now? I mean, you have Facebook, right?
I will be very sorry. Yes, I have social. I have Facebook. I have Instagram and Twitter and all of those things.
So we can stay.
But I will be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is. I have a team, there are three people, and because they do put me on Facebook, okay, so they have it. What I do, my job is to give them all the information.
Uh-huh.
They post it, but I see everything. They send me things, or I do, you know, go on to read, and then I personally will answer, or they'll send it to me. But if I know how to do all of that,
yeah,
I'm not that high tech.
Yeah, I don't me either. I have to have people help me too, because it changes every 5 minutes. It's like, push this, do that. Okay, I gotcha. But it is an honor to talk to you. The memoir, Miss D and Me. And again, Catherine, you are a joy to talk to.
No, thank you. And I will say, because a lot of times people won't know who Miss D is. So I always say, it's Life with the Invincible Bette Davis. Now, if anybody is listening today, I always do something special on her birthday, or I do it on her anniversary.
Uh-huh.
I just released, so the easiest way, I say, if you go on Facebook,
uh-huh.
and then you go on to Bette Davis,
uh-huh.
October 6th is when Miss D passed.
Yes.
Part one of an interview that's never been shown before, that was a tribute to Miss D in 1988 in Paris.
Uh-huh.
We post it. Part two, because it's it has to go through YouTube, and I have carried it. I had the actual taping. I had to get it transferred. Back then it was on PAL. You have to get it to NTSC.
Mm-hmm.
I took it to professionals in L.A. Mm-hmm. NTSC, you had to DVD, digitalize it. So it took, quite some time. But now part two will be coming. Part one is there. Part two will be coming as soon as we get the license agreement, I think, for one of the clips. But that's good, because I don't want to overflood the market, but I think people will be fascinated, because it's something that's never been seen before.
I just want to encourage you to keep sharing your story, and I just want to encourage everybody to come on down to Williamsburg. I know you're actually being able to talk with me today because of a gentleman there in Williamsburg. If you want to thank him, I would love that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, well, two people. I thank Robert Hodge, but the way I got to know you, I thank Davis Bailey.
Oh, we love Davis Bailey. He is amazing.
He is. You know, I met Davis back in New York when he was working on the Rolanda show. That's many, many years ago.
Oh, and he loves her. She's such a mentor. And he's just an amazing friend.
Davis is incredible. And Davis emailed me, and then Robert, who, as I met last when the book came out in hardback, Robert had the idea, you got to come to Williamsburg, you know, and it's like, Williamsburg, and you know, it's like, I didn't know Robert, but I will tell you, he loved this book.
Yes.
And I always believe, Miss B, she always sends me signs. Uh-huh. She is always around me, you know, and she's always around this book because I could hear her upstairs with all those people upstairs saying, kid, you need some press. You know, we need some press. Okay, we're going to do the feud. You know, Ryan Murphy, the feud. It is not accurate. If anybody wants to know the truth, just go read this and that. Miss D's own words about, she does a whole chapter on Baby Jane. Uh-huh. And you will find, yeah, Miss D totally admired Joan Crawford. They were professionals.
Yes.
Now, what she didn't like in the end is that Joan went around to everybody, you know, saying, if you don't win, I'll accept your award, because Joan wasn't nominated. But that was the sad thing. They had Miss D won. They were producing. You get the back end cut. You know, a lot of times, do you want your money now or do you take it at the end? Miss D said, no. You know what? Let's do the film and let's make it great. And then, so she was. She did not appreciate that. She said she was backstage. She knew she was going to have it. The whole town knew. And then they call Ann Baxter. And who walks in front of her is Joan Crawford. And we see in the, you know, the evening, who is holding the award. So whether you know or not, you'll see the photo and you think, oh, Joan Crawford won the award.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that funny? Well, I love this. I encourage everybody to come see you, get the book, and just keep on doing what you're doing, okay?
Okay, thank you ever so much. And please, for both events, you will see me and my Robert Hodge. He is going to host the event with me.
Wonderful.
He's going to ask all these brilliant questions that they're questions that you're all thinking.
All right, I love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kat.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.